fell asleep. Vimes pocketed the cosh and saw Coates looking at him. "Whose side are you on, Ned?" he said. "What do you hit the kid for?" said Ned. "So he's out of it. You got anything to say?" "Not much, Sarge." Ned grinned. "We're all learning a lot today, aren't we?" "True enough," said Vimes. "There's even bigger bastards than you for a start." This time Vimes grinned. "But I try harder, Ned. You know Carser? He's a murderer. And just about everything else, too. A stone-cold killer with brains. Is this going to go the distance?" "Yep, it's got to. We've got to stop this, Ned. This is the only chance. It stops here or not at all. Can you imagine him loose now he's pally with Snapcase?" "Yes, I can," said Ned. "Just as well I wasn't planning anything this evening, eh? But you can tell me one thing, Sarge. How do you know all this?" Vimes hesitated. But at a time like this, what difference did it make? "I'm from this city," said Vimes. "But, oh, there was a hole in time, something like that. You want to know? I travelled here in time, Ned, and that's the truth." Ned Coates looked him up and down. Blood covered Vimes's armour and his hands and half his face, and he was holding a bloody sword in his hand. "From how far back?" he said. Time stopped. Coates froze and faded in colour into a world made up of shades of grey.
"Nearly there, Your Grace," said Sweeper behind Vimes.
"Ye gods!" yelled Vimes, flinging his sword to the ground. "You are not making any friends here, you know." The sword hadn't hit the ground. It hung a few inches from his hands and had faded into greyness.
"There's just a few things we need to tell you," said Sweeper,
as if a sword in mid-air was a minor consideration.
"What's happened to the bloody sword?" said Vimes, to whom they weren't. "Time has stopped for everyone but you," said Sweeper patiently. "Actually, that sentence is wrong in every particular, but it's a useful lie. It'll just take us a moment to set things up."
Now Vimes had time of some kind to look around. The whole street was darker, as if the fight had been taking place in the half-light just before dawn. The only colour was in the robes and faces of Sweeper and Q as they manoeuvred a handcart out of an alley. It held a couple of small stone columns and the body of John Keel wrapped in a shroud.
"We have some good news," said Sweeper.
"You have?" said Vimes weakly. He walked over to the body.
"Indeed," said Q, unshipping the stone cylinders.
"We thought we might have to persuade you to remove all your armour, but you will not, I think, need to do this."
"That's because it will stay here," said Lutze. "Belongs here, see?"
"No," said Vimes. "I don't know what the hell you're talking about."
He touched the body.
"So cold," he said. "That's what I remember. He was so cold."
"A morgue does that to people," said Sweeper, in a matter-of-fact voice.
"Now, please pay attention, Commander," said Q. "When we operate the..."
Vimes looked up, violence in his eyes. Sweeper laid a hand on Q's arm.
"We've got things to do for a minute or two," he said.
"Yes, but it's vital that he knows how to..."
"We've got things to do for a minute or two," Sweeper repeated, making a face.
"Oh, what? Oh, yes, we've got, things to do, things to do, things."
They wandered away. Out of the corner of his eye, Vimes saw them walking back and forth across the street, as if taking measurements. He looked back at John Keel.
"But what could you say? Sorry you're dead?"
Keel had originally died on the barricades, not in a street fight. But he was just as dead all the same. Vimes was hazy on religion. He attended watch funerals and went to such religious events as the proper fulfilling of the office of commander entailed, but as for the rest, well, you saw things sometimes that made it impossible to believe not only in gods but also in common humanity in your own eyes. From what he could remember, Keel had felt the same way. You got on with things. If there were any gods, you expected them to get on with things too, and didn't interrupt them while they were working. What could you say to a dead copper? What would he want said?
Ah.
He leaned closer. "Carser's going to bloody swing for this," he said, and stood back. Behind him, Sweeper coughed theatrically.
"Ready, Your Grace," he said.